Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
So we're on the eve of what is traditionally Super Saturday in the Six Nations, the final day of the tournament. Of course, not the case this year because we're still going to have Scotland, France, but it is going to be a cracker of an afternoon. Starting at 2:15, Scotland up against Italy. Then at 4:45 at the Aviva, it's Ireland against Scotland. We'll have Andy Dunn and Neil Tracy at that one for the afternoon. And then 8 o'clock tomorrow night, France against Wales. Championship Grand Slam on the line. France hoping to bring it to that final night against Scotland this day next week. Never let it be said here on Off the Ball that we don't give the opposition a voice on the week of big international games. This week here on the show, we've already spoken to a couple of English legends in Will Greenwood and Ugo Monya. And I'm delighted to be joined by another great of the English game. Maggie Alfonsi is with us. How are you, Maggie?
I'm very well. Thank you for getting me on board to share my views. I really do appreciate that. Thank you.
Privileged to have you. So Ugo Monya was on the other day saying England are underdogs. Will Greenwood is talking about the pressure that's on Eddie Jones coming into this game. I'm getting worried that the English are trying to lull us into a false sense of security.
You know, our mind games was very well. Do you know what? I have to echo what the boys have said already. You know, England is under a bit of pressure. You know, the fact that they performed incredibly well, I think that's the best I've seen them perform, I'd say, since the World Cup semi-final. I think we saw a really good, strategic way of playing for England. Look, the first 2 minutes wasn't good. The French came out, scored that first try, and then it was sort of back and forth in terms of tries being scored. But it was good to see England show what they're capable of doing and really have a decent comeback. But, you know, the Irish have had some good rugby, played well against Scotland. I know that the margins were fine in that victory, but I do feel, you know, England away, you sort of are seeing Ireland as being the favourites to take that game. And I think the pressure is on England to definitely put in a performance.
I believe you. I believe you, Maggie. The French game then, the analysis out of it was quite interesting because the feeling was that a more fast-paced, free-flowing style suited that English team. And listening to Eddie Jones during the week, he didn't seem too pleased with that analysis. He made some bizarre comments about we're trying to take the poison out of it. Do you think it's because he's looking at Ireland and actually he doesn't want that free-flowing game from England? He wants something more attritional because he knows if it is a slow attritional game that England have proven over the last 3 or 4 years that they have Ireland's number. If it's a physical battle, England generally win it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, we talk about mind games and Eddie's very smart to that. He's, you know, especially in his post-match interviews and his preview interviews as well, he's very much around trying to set it up how England want to play. And you're right, look, against the French, England had to play a certain way. It was very much coming out of an intent of wanting to play with width, wanting to almost be directive with the way they play, and also have ambition in their style of rugby. And you saw that against the against Ireland, it's a very different style. So it is going to be probably more confrontational, more physical. It's going to be about who can play the territory, you know, strategically kicking appropriately, kicking to space rather than at people. I imagine it will be a very highly kicking game, as we always know, especially when we play against Ireland. They're very good at that. And obviously with Murray coming back in at nine, you think that he's going to target that, the box kick quite a lot. So you do feel for England, if they play a probably a more physical, dominant way, it will play into their hands. But at the same time, look, England have shown that they're capable of playing different styles. And after winning against France, you feel that their confidence is back on track almost. But they know that Ireland have their strengths and the physical kicking style of rugby does play in their favour as well.
It is hard to underestimate the importance of this game for both sides because they're both going in similar positions and you win this game and there's a possibility that you finish second in the championship. the losers of this game are potentially looking at a fifth place finish, which for either will be a huge setback. They're at different stages in the road in that Ireland field. There's still a bit of transition under Andy Farrell, but Eddie Jones has been under massive pressure before. He was all but written off 18 months before the World Cup. As brilliant as that French performance was, if they were to lose this game, are there legitimate questions going to be asked about Eddie Jones' future?
To be honest, I think there's been questions been asked about Eddie Jones' future throughout the whole entire Six Nations tournament. After that first loss against Scotland, I think many people were calling for Eddie's head, really, I guess, in that respect. But
and is that just his personality? Is it that when things are going wrong, people just can't help themselves but to lump on Eddie Jones?
And Eddie is used to it. You know, he's out of all the coaches that you see, he's one of those coaches who he doesn't really listen to critics. He doesn't really listen to the social media. He does what he knows best for his team. And I think, you know, throughout the whole Six Nations, many people, and myself included, have said about, you know, his team selections and he's got his undroppables. And I think the more we talk about it, the more Eddie definitely digs in his heels to make sure that there's no changes. But he made a couple of changes for the France game. And some would say it's definitely paid off. England definitely played a different way. And I feel with Eddie, he's not a man to sort of listen to the outside views. You know, he's very much sticks to his guns. And I feel this game against Ireland, if England lost, people will still be asking questions of Eddie regardless. You know, even if England win and they don't put in a good performance, people will ask questions. So I think for Eddie, he's got his contract. His contract's pretty much set now to the next Rugby World Cup, and he'll just continue to do his job and bring players through and peak, get England to peak at the right time. So you almost feel Eddie will be criticised regardless sometimes.
I'm not sure how much you can read into particularly, say, the November win for England against Ireland, but they are looking for a fifth straight victory. Ireland have 11 changes from that team. Sexton, Murray, Henshaw are all back. It's an entirely new front five. But still, the scar tissue of that from an Irish point of view and how dominant England were at the set piece and how brilliant Mauro Itoje was and their tackle count, and they didn't put a foot wrong that day. Mentally, do you think England feel now that they can bully this Irish side?
I think, you know, past performances always give any team confidence. And if you ask any player, they always say, you know, it's what's happened in the past is not a reflection of what's going to happen, you know, the game when we play against each other. And I think England will take confidence of how they performed previously against Ireland. At the same time, we all love that underdog strap line that sort of gives you that confidence to go out and perform. And for Ireland, yes, they've lost against England previously. At the same time, you almost feel that will play in their advantage. So, yes, I think England will be looking to try and bully Ireland. But at the same time, Ireland have got, like you said, they've made some changes. They've got some key players back. You know, Peter Omani is obviously on the bench as well, coming back from the suspension. So you feel with this Ireland side, it looks like a strong side regardless of those changes. And England have only obviously made one change, that's to Daly in the centres. So this is going to be a physical, confrontational game, which both teams, like you've already highlighted, the winner of this can potentially finish higher up in the table, which is going to be quite significant in what is going to be, you know, preparation for a potentially a Lions tour as well. So players are going to want to put their hands up.
What do you make of that decision then to bring Elliot Daly back into the side, this time at centre? I think it's nearly 5 years since he started a test at centre. Henry Slade's obviously a huge loss. Eddie Jones spoke about expecting a strong aerial battle, and I think we all do with the amount of box kicks that Ireland take. Daly compared to Slade in the centre against that sort of game plan?
Look, you've already said it, Nathan. Slade injury is a huge loss to the squad. I thought he had a very good game last weekend as a playmaker, and again with ball in hand, he's instrumental to the way England play. So to lose him has been quite significant. Look, for me, Daly, I actually think his preferred position is 13. I think he's played in that position in club rugby for Wasps and with Saracens in patches as well. So I feel that's a strong position for him. It's a big ask, though, when you ask him to play that international when he hasn't done it for a while. He's been pretty much England's 15 or potentially winger. I would have liked to have seen Lawrence in that position. Lawrence is on the bench. He got an opportunity against Scotland. He hasn't really been seen much after that. I feel in the centres, he would have been a strong defender. And against, you know, Ireland's midfield position, you've got Aki and you've got Henshaw. Henshaw was brilliant last weekend. Aki obviously coming back in, big ball carriers. So our midfield defence is going to have to be absolutely solid for that. So I would almost say for England, Daly at 13 is a good call, but would have liked to have seen Lawrence in that position just because I think he hasn't really had much of an opportunity and could have potentially would have been a good matchup against Henshaw.
What have you made of Ireland's performances? Because it is interesting to get the outside view here. There's a feeling it's been quite conservative at times. There hasn't been enough offloading. There hasn't been enough risk-taking and creativity. I'm not sure England is the team to go and try and change that massively. You just probably want to grind out a victory. What are your thoughts on what you've seen from Ireland in the four games so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, with every team we think in the Six Nations, you sort of expect more. And for me with Ireland, yeah, okay, right, you sort of said bits of it. Some of the wins have been quite conservative. I think, you know, I thought the one against Italy, I know it's Italy and it's obviously a different sort of opponent, but they came out with a real level of intent and scored lots of tries and scored lots of good tries as well. And I feel there's many players have really performed. So, you know, Byrne, obviously, he's playing second row on the weekend coming up. I thought he's been brilliant this Six Nations. Obviously, been playing mainly at six, but he's really stood out. So there's some players have really put in some good performances. But Six Nations is really about grinding out that win. It's about getting the results, like they did against Scotland. They got the win. It wasn't necessarily a huge score, but at the same time, they got the win, and I think that's the priority. If they finish with a win against England, I think they'll be quite satisfied with the way the Six Nations has gone. Ideally, would have preferred to have a Six Nations complete trophy title to their name, but at the same time, if they beat England, I think they'll be very pleased with how their campaign has gone.
It does feel as though the Irish style may suit this English team, because England are generally very good without the ball. If they can keep their discipline, are very good without the ball. And Ireland actually have any amount of possession, any amount of territory, and haven't really taken advantage of it so far. Is that what you'd expect tomorrow, that England let Ireland have quite a bit of the ball?
Oh, it's a difficult one. So to come up to your first point about discipline, I think for England, that has been the talking theme. You know, England and their penalties, especially when we talk about the Wales game where they gave away a significant amount. And actually against France, they still gave away a large amount. And against Ireland, they'll be very clear in the terms of their preparation to be quite controlled with not playing on the edge. At the same time, the likes of Itoje, that's what they do. You know, he is very much a player who will, you know, if you're any scrum half, you'd be worried about Itoje on the fringe of the breakdown, charging you down. But at the same time, that's the way England play. But England's very confident with their defence. You know, it's something that they've very much prided themselves on. So even if they don't have the ball, I think they'll be quite confident in making sure that they close Ireland down. But at the same time, Ireland are brilliant with ball in hand, but also brilliant with ball out of hand. So I'd say almost the way England would expect to play will be to almost, potentially give Ireland the ball and we close them down, keep them in their 22 and apply the pressure on. I imagine that would be sort of their strategy, but you never know when it comes to the last game of Six Nations and also the way that England played against France. I don't imagine they'll want to replicate that again in terms of the fast-flowing rugby. They probably want to play a bit more conservative as well.
Is that an easy switch, considering it's only 7 days between the two matches from Eddie Jones' point of view? Do the players understand that, yes, as enjoyable as it may be in many ways to play that style of rugby, that it is horses for courses and that you can go from being that team, and maybe it's a brilliant thing for England long-term that they can play that style of rugby against France and against Ireland or maybe against the South African big World Cup games, that if they need to get into a brute force battle, they can do that as well. Is it easy for Eddie Jones to get that mindset across to his players?
I think the best international teams are able to do that. They're able to almost change their style depending on the team they're playing against. You know, you wouldn't necessarily play the way you play against a New Zealand side necessarily against an Italy side. If you can do that, it's brilliant. But actually, it's about playing a certain style to ensure that you get the right win. You adapt it. So even though England played a very much a fast-flowing, with intense sort of style of rugby against France, I hope they still come out at the same level of intention against Ireland. But again, you might have to just play it a different way. And it's, even though there's a seven-day gap in between that, that's what you spend that whole time in camp to sort of do your preparation in regards to the team that you're about to play and actually change it. And they know they're going to have to change it against Ireland because obviously the way that they play and the homework they would have done will be very different. So yes, teams can do it, and a team like England is capable, like any other top Six Nations side.
Onitoje's discipline, is that something that coaches will try and knock out of him, that playing on the edge? Because he's very much in contention to be a Lions test captain this summer. Or is it just too risky to try and knock that out of him, that you accept, yes, there may be the odd time he gives away penalties, there may be the odd yellow card in there, but actually, to get the best out of him, you had to let him loose?
I don't think coaches need to talk to him at all. I think he's a very smart, intelligent player. Like you said, he's a player that everyone's talking about being the next captain of the Lions. You know, he could be an England captain, definitely. I think players like him are, they do their own analysis, and they almost, it's called calculated risks, and they take the risks that they know that they can get away with. And he'll
is
be
he getting
he
better at us? Game.
I think he's, you know, against Wales, he gave him far too many penalties, and everyone knows that. He knows that. And didn't they say about players calling Eddie Jones to apologise for their amount of penalties that gave away? And I don't think Itoje did call Eddie Jones, from what I'm aware of. But people like Itoje, they almost learn to play it smart, you know. So he gave away a lot of penalties against Wales. He gave a reduced amount. Actually, I don't know what his penalty count was against France, at the top of my head, but it was definitely reduced from the Wales game. So players like him just learn to be a lot smarter depending on the game that they're playing, and also the referee who is officiating. You know, you learn to understand different referees and what they will let, not necessarily slip, but what are they more focused on. So I would imagine with Eddie, he would have probably had a word in Itoje's ear, but at the same time, he'd be encouraging him to keep applying the pressure on, put, you know, worry every nine that's out there who's about to take a box kick, and actually don't change your game, but just be smart about the penalties you give away, or the penalties that you give away in certain positions on the field as well. That you've got to be smart about that.
One area for Ireland that is absolutely transformed since the defeat in November is the line-out, and what Paul O'Connell has managed to bring in such a quick space has been pretty remarkable. 14 line-out steals in 4 games, double that of any other side. But England's line-out is still rock solid. Hard to see, though, Itoje stealing 5 line-outs like he did back in November.
Well, look, Itoje and also his partnership for the weekend is going to be Charlie Ewells. And their partnership only really formed back again against the French. Prior to that, obviously, Johnny Hill was there. So it's a different partnership. I think the line-out between England and Ireland is going to be exciting to watch. The way Ireland performed against Scotland, and I think Scotland lost 6 line-outs, which is incredibly impressive. Obviously, you haven't got James Ryan, because obviously he's picked up an unfortunate injury. So that changes things a little bit. And Burns, obviously, now in second row. So it's going to be, it's hard to call that one. I think it's going to be a heavily contested line-out. Both teams will have to see that as a huge focus. I don't see Itoje necessarily stealing a lot of line-outs, because I think Ireland, one of their biggest strengths is their line-out defence.
Looking at that Irish back row and looking at the 2 back rows, well, obviously it's going to be CJ Sanders last game in a green jersey before he heads back to South Africa. And Jack Conan has come into the side as well. Brian O'Driscoll was on the show last night analysing Conan and whether he is the type of number 8 who would kill his granny, that he's a brilliant ball carrier, but does he have that little bit of grit and nastiness that you want in that position? And when you look at the England back row, and even a back 5 where you throw Ewells in, Curry, the Vinipolas are in there, they seem to have the perfect mix of, they would kill their granny and they have that ball carrying ability as well, good hands. Is that a fair assessment, that that's an area of the pitch that England are particularly strong in compared to Ireland?
I think for when you look at the back 5 in particular, and you look at the back row, there's got to be a balance across that team. So when you think about Conan, and yeah, he might not have that necessarily that aggressive nature in him, as long as there's other players in your back row or your back 5 in that respect have that, then you've got the balance across your forward pack. And I look at England's pack, and I do think there's been a lot of chop and changing. You know, England's back row in particular has changed a few times, and there's no Underhill, is obviously just coming back from injury now and playing rugby at, obviously, back at club. But there's been, you know, Laws was in at 6. He got injured. He's came out and he brings that physical, aggressive nature. Now Wilson's back in. Wilson's not necessarily physical and aggressive, but he's got a fantastic work rate. So you've got a real different kind of balance in that pack. And I do think that works for England. And once you get it, you want to settle with it. But there are always some chopping and changing. So I'd almost say for England, that is their strength. You know, they have a good balance across their pack, which gives them, you know, you've got players who are big ball carriers, who are runners, at the same time with a bit of physical aggression in them. The likes of Billy Villapolo, though, is still trying to find form. And I think he's got better recently, definitely played better against France. But see, you know, for the England pack in particular, when all of them are on form, they look great. When there's certain players who are still struggling to get to their form, mainly those Saracens players who haven't had much rugby, it does have an impact on England's balance in terms of performance.
On Jack Conan, and if he's looking to bring that into his game, that sort of abrasiveness, I don't know if it ever came up during your career where people say you need to go in a bit harder. Abrasiveness is a strange one to analyse, because it can be very easy to be reckless by being abrasive. What do you want to see if we're to see Jack Conan be more abrasive? What does he have to do, actually? Is it just throwing yourself into more collisions, or is it something else?
I think, especially when you think about the number eight role, you know, you're a key decision maker as well as a big ball carrier and someone who's supposed to be there to provide a bit of a platform, especially for that fantastic Ireland back line to know, have something to launch off. So for Conan, I guess the reality is it's playing a smart game, especially against England. So it is, you know, outplaying your opposite number eight, so Billy Villapolo. So you do want to fight physicality with physicality, so that's going to be quite key. But also, when you look at Ireland's background in particular, you've got Stander, who's obviously a big, strong ball carrier. His last game, it's going to be quite emotional, full stop, and he's going to want to obviously give Ireland a platform. Van der Flier, you know, he's brilliant with the ball in hand. So I think Conan has to really think about what he brings to that back line. So for me, yeah, physical, meet your number eight with physicality, but then at the same time, It's almost been, I guess, work rate. It's been playing a smart game. So don't overcommit. Don't necessarily think that because you've got to show your physicality that you try and be everywhere and actually spread yourself thin. The best number eights I've seen in my career, like, you know, yeah, Kieran Reid, for example, they're number eight. So I've always felt that they're very smart about how they play. They don't go to every breakdown. They pick the right ones and they try and make sure that when they're used and they have an impact. So that's all I can say about him. And I guess the England game is the perfect opportunity to show what he's capable of doing.
You've been to one of the Six Nations games behind closed doors. Are they everything they were before? Are they as physical as they were before, without the crowd, without the emotion?
So I was at the England-Italy game at Twickenham, and I was pitch side. And I have to say, it was weird. It felt like observing a training session, because, you know, you can hear absolutely everything they're saying, including the swearing. You know, there's all of that happening. But you're watching it from the pitch side, and it still looks the same entertaining spectacle of rugby, even though there's no crowds there. You know, the physicality is still there. The ambition to want to play is still there. But you do wonder what it's like for a player when you're on the field. It must feel strange. And I know the biggest thing that most players will be thinking is actually you need to create your own atmosphere. You need to create that energy as a team, rather than relying on the crowd. It is weird to watch, though, as we all know, whatever sport you're watching. It's harder to watch it and actually sort of see it, because when there's no crowd, you sort of feel like the atmosphere isn't there. But watching it pitch side, I definitely felt like I was definitely watching a test match.
You probably get a bit more of a sense of who's talking to each other as well. Who are the big talkers in that English team? Is there anyone that surprised you?
Oh, you can spot the accent. So Owen Farrell, you know, you hear his voice, especially Northern accent. You sort of know that he's obviously the communicator. But people like your Togis as well, we talk. You know, he plays on the edge, but he communicates so much with the rest of the team. And it's actually quite a privilege to be able to be pitch side to see that, because when the crowds are there, you don't necessarily hear that all the time unless you hear it on the ref mic. And to be able to witness that, you go, that's where all the communication of all the team members is really, you know, everyone's talking. There's no silent period. And it's great to see the individuals who we sort of speak about quite a lot really have a prominent voice on the pitch.
Ugo Manu was saying that in the build-up, it felt to every Six Nations game so far, both teams are trying to make themselves the underdog. Give us your prediction then as to what's actually going to happen tomorrow.
Oh, well, I think all I can really see is going to be It's going to be a highly competitive game, as we always know, between England and Ireland. England potential people are saying that England are the underdogs. Some might say the other way. Ireland.
You can pick an England win, Maggie. It's okay. We won't hold it against you.
Do you know what? I've got to be careful what I say. So I'm going to say, but after what I saw from England against France, I'm going to say an England win. But I do think it's going to be a tight margin. And I say it will be within 5 points between the score. So I'll say England win and it will be close.
Okay. We might hold it against you.
Nathan, let me ask you, what do you think? Come on, look, whilst I've got you, I'm going to ask you now then.
Listen, I think England are a powerhouse of world rugby and we're fortunate to be able to share the same field as them. So I think England will win this quite comfortably, of course.
I like that answer.
The underdog will try and come through. All our rugby and off the balls with thanks to Vodafone, official sponsor of the Irish rugby team, Team of Us. Everyone in, as I say, we'll have updates tomorrow from Andy Dunn and Neil Tracy at the Aviva. Maggie Alfonsi, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of Us. Everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network.